بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فأما بعد فقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وقال نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My dear respected brothers, sisters, elders, a friend of mine, a non-Muslim Hindu friend of mine, asked me a question the other day in connection with another discussion we were having about world affairs, and he says, why do we need religion at all? Because this is the normal tendency of people blame religion instead of blaming the misuse of religion. So he said, why religion at all? So I said, I will answer you from the perspective of Islam, because I'm a Muslim. So I'm not talking about religion in general, but specifically about Islam. So I said, let me change your question to why Islam instead of why religion? And then I thought maybe it's a good thing for us to talk about here as well, because this is sometimes a question that a lot of us get asked, especially my young brothers here and sisters here who go to university and so on. People ask you this question, why Islam? So maybe inshallah we give some answers. Number one reason, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is real. And I want you to think about this. I want you to reflect on this. Because Allah is real. I know we all believe this intellectually, but do we really believe this inside ourselves? Because Allah is real. He's not a mythological figure. Allah is my creator, is my provider, my sustainer, my owner, Al-Malik, Al-Khaliq, Al-Raziq, Al-Hakim. And to Him is my return when I die to answer for how I lived, to be rewarded or punished. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His protection from punishment and for His reward, inshallah. And about this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned very clearly, He said, وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Kahf, and say, the truth is from your Rabb. Then whoever wills, let him believe, and whoever wills, let him disbelieve. إِنَّ عَاتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا حَاتَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا. Allah said that also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted this freedom to believe or not to believe to anyone. We are free to choose, but the choice is not free. Every choice comes with a price tag. And that is why it is essential to choose wisely in the light of the consequences of the choice. The only valid criterion to use for all our choices is, does this please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If it does, we do it. If it doesn't, we don't do it. If we don't know, we don't do it until we find out. When we find out, if it does, we do it. If it doesn't, we don't do it. Selective obedience is disobedience, and therefore we do not obey selectively. We obey completely, because that is the sign of a Muslim. Muslims don't play games with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't take chances. They believe and they obey. Samana wa atana. Number two, because death is real and the return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is real. I know that I will die one day, and that can be at any time, and that I will be brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and will have to account for what I did in this life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this, قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ. In Surah Al-Sajda, Allah said, say, the angel of death who is set over you will take your souls, and then you shall be brought to your Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. Death is a reality. It is a visible reality that reminds us about the unperceivable reality of our return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like denying death doesn't mean we won't die, denying the meeting of with Allah doesn't mean we will not meet Allah. It will happen. Reality does not depend on belief for its existence. It is for us to correct our belief and to act according to it and prepare for the eventuality which is real and cannot be postponed and can happen at any time. Number three, because to prepare for the inevitable is a sign of intelligence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His book, the Quran al-Kareem, and His messenger Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to guide us about how to live this life in a way that is beneficial for all humanity, all the inhabitants of this world, and for the earth itself, such that our lives will be beautiful for us and a source of great harmony, beauty, and grace for everyone and everything around us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the laws that He sent, وَلَكُمْ فِي الْخِصَاصِ حَيَاةٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah said, and there is a saving of life for you in Al-Khisas, which is the law of equality in punishment. O men and people of understanding, that you may become Al-Muttaqoon. This ayah refers to the criminal law of Islam about which, very strangely perhaps for us today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something which is very unexpected. He says that in this law there is saving of life. For those who criticize the severity of punishments, I would invite them to look at the purpose of punishment, that it must punish the criminal and not anyone else, and that it must be a deterrent for other potential aspiring criminals by making the price of crime very high. Today our societies, which have so-called kinder laws, are suffering from a profusion of crime. South Africa and India, for example, are prime examples of rampant criminality, with the most heinous crimes being committed on an epidemic scale. The Islamic criminal code is the fairest and most merciful of criminal laws, and if and where applied, results in a huge reduction of crime. Number four, because human beings need a code of ethics and values that is eternal and not constantly changing according to the whims and fancies of the time. People need to have a clear path of guidance which tells them what is right and what is not. Some of it is naturally clear and you don't need a divine book or prophet to tell you, but other things need to be told in clear terms and to be demonstrated to show that it is possible to live your life according to that method. Islam does this for us. It shows us a clear path by statement and demonstration. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to obey His messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to take whatever He gave us and leave whatever He told us to leave. This also shows the importance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and His sunnah for us. وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. In Surah Al-Hashr, Allah said, and whatsoever the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives you, take it, and whatsoever He forbids you from, abstain from it, and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verily Allah is severe in punishment. To give you an example, take the case of the legalization of recreational use of marijuana. I'm not saying this is good or bad. My question is, if it is legal today, it means that when it was considered illegal, that was a mistake. So what about all those who got jailed in the 60s and 70s for doing exactly the same thing, which was recreational use of marijuana? And that's the point. The point is that laws which are based on what is trending at the time cannot be just. They will always, by definition, be unjust. Number five, because human beings need to be reminded that there is no escape from accountability. One is to have the laws. The second one is enforcement. Today, in most countries, this is a problem. The laws are there, but enforcement is either weak or absent, and so therefore the laws are broken with impunity. So we're looking now at enforcement. What's the enforcement with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That there is no escape from accountability. Because the one who will call to account is all-seeing, all-hearing, all-knowing. Nothing is hidden from him. Nothing escapes him. He does not sleep or doze. Neither is he inattentive in any way. He is Allah. He is not a human being. He is not like anyone or anything in his creation. He is the creator. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't need to rest. He has no need, but he fulfills the needs of everything in his creation. That is why we worship him alone, because he is alone, unique, incomparable, unaffected by anyone or anything, free from all needs, free from all human qualities and frailties. It is therefore necessary to spend time to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, to feel his presence in our lives and our hearts, and to allow his glory and majesty to permeate our hearts and minds and make our lives obedient to him. About accountability, he said, which we know, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Zalzala, so whoever does good equal to the weight of an atom shall see it, and whosoever does evil equal to the weight of an atom shall see it. Nobody will escape the consequences of his or her deeds on the day of judgment, no matter what happened to them in this life. There are plenty of people in the world today who commit all kinds of crimes, from genocide to much smaller ones, and are apparently walking free and happy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that every one of us is being watched, and everything we say and do is being recorded, and that on the day of judgment, we will see, not just be informed, not just read it, we will see it ourselves, everything that we did. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his protection for all of us. أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فعما بعد فقال تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Point number 6. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself to us in the changing of the seasons, in the transformation of colors, from the stark gray of apparently dead trees in the winter, standing as mute witnesses in a sea of white snow and ice, to the emerging green of new shoots, resurrection of the earth after death, the sudden explosion of color as every twig sports a flower in spring, in the resurgence of life, green everywhere in summer, trees in production mode, photosynthesizing to produce starch and sugar to store up for the winter. In the painting of the landscape, in colors you cannot imagine, shades of orange, purple, yellow, gold, mauve and scarlet, painted by a hand unseen in which there is only goodness. All fall down in fall, heralding the approach of hardship, the circle of life that advances remorselessly, whether we like it or not. In every change is a message for those who can see, prepare or perish. Animals and birds, insects, reptiles, amphibians, all recognize the patterns and are in harmony with them. Robins and sparrows, starlings and cardinals, chickadees and jays, all build nests starting in spring until the end of summer they have raised multiple broods. The sight of them searching for worms, especially robins, is an inspiration and an example of dedication to their goal, to do the best for their offspring. As the season turns, you can see monarch butterflies winging south from Canada to Mexico. The return of the journey they undertook in spring, traveling over 3,000 miles in 4 generations. Monarchs in eastern North America have a second home in the Sierra Madre Mountains of Mexico. monarchs in Western North America overwinter in California. Researchers are still investigating what directional aids monarch butterflies use to find their overwintering location. It appears to be a combination of directional aids such as the magnetic pull of the earth and the position of the sun, among others, not one in particular. Generation 1 monarchs are the offspring of monarchs who overwintered in Mexico. Each generation travels further to the north. It takes 3 to 4 generations to reach the northern United States and Canada. The butterfly that left Canada doesn't return to Canada, but its offspring do, offspring who never saw Canada before, but they return to where their parents came from. Those who follow divine guidance don't go astray. As temperatures start to fall, squirrels hoard nuts, acorns, pecans, and others. They stuff their cheeks with them and they bury them all over the place in caches for the winter. But squirrels have memories like mine, so they forget the location of the cache in some cases. Thus, an oak is planted. A tree that can reach 70 feet in height, 9 feet in width, with branches that can reach 135 feet in length. The tree that changed the history of the world by enabling the British, the Dutch, the Portuguese, and the Spanish to build ships that could sail across oceans on voyages lasting not weeks or months, but years. Planted by a squirrel. Biology has a role in the teaching of history. And the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a role in everything. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِّأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Allah said in Suratul Al Imran, verily in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of the day and the night, night and the day, there are indeed signs for people of understanding. Those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala standing, sitting and lying down and think deeply about the creation of the heavens and the earth. And they say, O our Rabb, you have not created all this without purpose. Glory be to you. Give us salvation from the torment of the fire. The two books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Quran Al-Kareem and His creation, the kainat, to be read, reflected upon and understood. It is a sign of intelligence to recognize the signs of Allah and to see His power and glory in His creation. That is the reason we must change the way we teach and learn to see the link between the Creator and His creation, between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ourselves. That is the ultimate purpose of our lives, to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to connect to Him, to worship Him and obey Him, so that we can look forward to our meeting with Him. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that the best meeting of our lives. Number 7, to understand that rituals are for us. Salah, fasting, Hajj, demonstrate and zakat. They demonstrate our allegiance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah doesn't need them. They are for us because they give us peace and harmony, tranquility, contentment and happiness. Happiness is not a product of what we own, but of what we can give. The wealthiest person is not the one who owns the most, but the one who can give the most. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَتْمَئِنُّوا قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب. قال جل وعلا في سورة الرعد, those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and whose hearts find rest in the remembrance of Allah, verily in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find tranquility. I remind you and myself that everyone in the world is searching for only one thing, and that is the reason why people work, why they struggle, why they chase money, why they chase power, friends, family, everything we strive for. And that thing is itminanul qalb, peace of mind, tranquility, contentment. Yet at the end of a life of struggle, many still do not find it, and they look back on their lives with frustration. That's because you can never find something if you look for it in the wrong place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that tranquility does not lie in what we own or what we think we own, but in remembering Him Jalla Jalaluhu. Tranquility lies in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dhikr, in contemplating and reflecting and strengthening our relationship with Him. Tranquility lies in trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the result of which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will please you. The one who can please Allah becomes free from all worldly cares and desires and lives in a permanent state of happiness. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who have tranquility and peace of mind. That last point, religion is not what you know, but what you do. In the words of our Ustad, Maulana Yunus Patel rahmatullahi alayh, who used to say, Islam begins outside the masjid. Islam is what is reflected in our lives. Islam is what our neighbors think of us. Islam is the health of our marriages. Islam is the manners of our children. Islam is the way we treat others and the way we respond to their treatment. Islam is not how much we know, but how we act on that knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصُوا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصُوا بِالصَّبْرِ. Allah took an oath by Asr, by time, and He said, verily, mankind is in loss, except those who believe in Islam and do righteous deeds and invite one another to the truth, أَمَرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهْيَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, and advise one another to be patient about the difficulties they may encounter in the process of practicing and preaching Islam. To conclude, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us to act, to work, to solve problems, to alleviate suffering, to stop oppression, to spread goodness. Allah sent us with the tools to recognize Him, to take from Him and give to others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us to do the work of the best of mankind, the Anbiya alayhimu salam, and the Rusul, the messengers, because we are the Ummah of the last and final of them. The Imamul Anbiya, the Sayyidul Mursaleen, the Habibullah, Muhammad Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. How can we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That is why we need religion. That is why we need Islam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you in ways that you cannot imagine, in sources that you cannot imagine. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from everything that displeases Him, because that is the biggest of the musibah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable you to do that which pleases Him and to protect you from that which does not please Him. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure everyone who is sick. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take away the need of everyone who is in need. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill all your du'as, to accept all your du'as with khair, and then to give you from His generosity and grace. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر لنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار آمين يا رب العالمين يا عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم عدو يستجيب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقيموا الصلاة